Distribution of the BBC World Service in the U.S. is made possible by PRI, a distinctive voice for information, insights, and cultural experiences essential to living in our diverse, interconnected world. PRI, hear a different voice.
World Briefing from the BBC was recorded at 11:06 Central Time this morning.
WILL programs are made possible with support from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Radio and online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn, Jason Croft, our technical director. It's 12:31 in WILL News at this hour. 14 faculty members on the University of Illinois Urbana campus say they have no confidence in President Michael Hogan, and they are calling on him to step down. Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports.
The letter comes more than a month after Hogan's chief of staff resigned amid an investigation into emails sent to the Faculty Senate's conference concerning enrollment policy. An investigation cleared President Hogan of any wrongdoing, but faculty leaders aren't satisfied with his leadership. In the letter, which was sent to the university's Board of Trustees, they outline 10 issues they have with Hogan. Among them, they claim he interfered with the discussions by the Senate's conference concerning the enrollment management plan. They're also dissatisfied with the president for allowing his former chief of staff to stay with the U of I as a full-time tenured professor. And they object to Hogan criticizing Chancellor Phyllis Wise for not trying to subdue opposition to the enrollment management proposal. Email exchanges between Hogan and Wise concerning the enrollment policy were recently published in local news media. A spokesman from the university says he needs to review the letter before commenting. Meanwhile, Hogan is expected to unveil a revised version of the enrollment management proposal in the next couple of weeks, which has received high marks by the Senate's conference. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
To read the letter, visit our website, will.illinois.edu. Students are back in class at Charleston High School after it was placed on lockdown around 9 this morning. In a statement, the school district reports someone had called 911 just before that time, reporting a student had a gun. After Charleston, police, state and county officers and those with Eastern Illinois University conducted a thorough search. No gun was found, and students and staff were allowed to return to the classroom. The school district requests that anyone with information about the 911 call report to the high school administration. An investigation by Charleston police continues. An advisor to Illinois Governor Pat Quinn says lawmakers would have to choose everything on a list of possible Medicaid cuts to get to the $2.7 billion proposed by the governor. Among the options on a list prepared by Quinn's administration is a 9% reduction in payments to hospitals, doctors, and pharmacies. The list includes changing eligibility rules for nursing homes and at-home help so that some incontinent elderly people who cannot prepare their own meals would be denied state-financed care. Excluding illegal immigrant children from the All Kids program is also on the list. The menu includes limiting or eliminating coverage of eyeglasses and wheelchairs. Quinn senior advisor Michael Gelder says even with the listed cuts, there would remain a nearly $2 billion backlog in overdue Medicaid payments. Stores where customers can use machines to roll their own cigarettes are on the defensive in a tax dispute with the state of Illinois. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The website ryofilingstation.com advertises its rolling machines as gold mines. The site sells to tobacco stores. It brags that customers will not only pay to use your machine, they'll also be buying tobacco, tubes, cases, lighters. It was under that premise that Mary Carney Nelson opened Main Street Tobacco Shop in Peoria last November.
I invested much of my retirement funds into this venture. I just turned 59, and I don't have enough years left to recoup the loss if I'm forced to close.
Nelson and other roll-your-own tobacco shop owners are protesting legislation that would characterize them in state law as cigarette manufacturers. That means they'd have to be licensed and charge customers a higher tax, the same 98 cents charged per pack of Marlboros or Camels. The state's revenue department says it doesn't matter how they're made, a cigarette's a cigarette, and it should get taxed accordingly. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Indiana's former Secretary of State will spend time at home in the coming months. A judge yesterday sentenced Charlie White to a year of home detention. That's following White's conviction on voter fraud charges. Michael Puente reports.
Charlie White hoped the judge would reduce his six felony convictions for theft, perjury, and voter fraud to misdemeanors, but nothing doing. White will have to serve a year of home detention, pay a $1,000 fine, and serve 30 hours of community service. Worst of all, though, White cannot return to his office as he hoped. In court, White said he didn't intentionally set out to do the things he was found guilty of. White spoke inside the courtroom, but not after the hearing. Prosecutor John Dowd had this to say.
In my opinion, based on what I saw and heard, I saw nothing that suggested to me that he ever accepted responsibility for his conduct or his actions.
White was convicted for lying on voter registration forms about where he lived and then voting in that precinct in the May 2010 primary. He's appealing the sentence. I'm Michael Puente.
Family members of a former Chicago Bears player are suing the NFL for wrongful death. Dave Duerson played safety for the Bears in the 1980s, including the Bears' Super Bowl-winning season. He committed suicide last year. His family is suing. They say Duerson was depressed, and the depression was caused by head trauma suffered during his NFL career. Attorney William Gibbs is representing Duerson's family.
If the NFL did something for Dave Duerson during his retirement, rather than provide him with false information, he likely would not have committed suicide on February 17th of last year.
Gibbs says the NFL for years denied there's a link between concussions and mental illness, despite medical research to the contrary. Researchers determined after Duerson's death that he had brain damage likely caused by repeated head trauma. The NFL said in a statement it has not yet seen the lawsuit. That's our noon hour look at WILL News. Our next report this afternoon during All Things Considered.